Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to today's episode about wealth. So today I'm going to talk about three pillars of wealth. I had a wonderful workshop on this subject in June, and so I just wanted to share a few of my ideas with you listeners. It's always good to look at money and look at wealth from all different aspects, and I feel like this kind of gives a different view on areas that we need to focus on that helps further our path for wealth. So before we jump into it, I want to define wealth. Wealth is the accumulation of money and things. So we use money to buy things as well as experiences, right? So as you think about that definition, what is your definition of wealth? Are you going to have more money than things? Or are you going to have more money and experiences or a combination of whatever, right? This is your definition. This is what you get to define. I believe wealth is what makes us happy. As long as we are able to live in that abundant mindset and know to keep going and keep growing. So as you've made that definition, and as we jump ahead to the three pillars, I want you to just think about how these three pillars will serve your definition of wealth. So the three pillars are saving, spending, and investing. So I'm going to discuss them on a more, I'm going to give you tips and strategies that are on a higher level, as opposed to like when people hear about savings, it's like, okay, well, all right, I need to cut here and cut there so I can't get more savings. That's not what this episode is going to be about. This is going to be that next level, how you can level up in these pillars to really, start building that wealth. And I'll show you how all three of them connect together and support one another. So as you are progressing on your journey, each one feeds the other and kind of is a circular. So don't just give your attention to only one pillar, but continue to learn and grow and kind of circulate through these three as you are growing on your wealth journey. So we're going to start with saving, basically where to save and how to save. So not the little expenses, right? I didn't say I was going to give that. So how to save? Well, the first rule, pay yourself first. I'm sure we've heard this before. Do we actually implement it? That should be a very first step, whether it's done by automation or not. And knowing how much that is, right? We need to have our savings plan. So creating a savings plan, which would include our emergency funds, our savings buckets, our sinking funds, our retirement savings, right? Which is later going to be invested. Everything comes out as savings at first, and then we choose to invest those certain amounts or not. So what it is basically the portion of your income that you are not spending today or this week, paycheck, however you want to view it, right? This is something that's going to be held for a later purpose. We should automate this. Automation means it's going to happen. Automation means that we don't have to second guess. Do I really need to send that there? It's just done, right? You meet the step of paying yourself first. You meet the step of how much you want to save, and it helps you keep on track. I also want to talk about a savings rate. So I love to use a savings rate, which turns into a percentage, because it gives me control with a challenge I'm going to talk about in just a minute. So how do you calculate a savings rate? Take the amounts you are saving for the entire month. So let's say that's $500, right? And you're going to divide it by your gross. Gross only if you are saving pre-tax as well as post-tax. If you are not saving anything pre-tax, I would take it as your net pay. It would give you a little bit better idea as to how much you're saving. Anyways, it is your savings rate, regardless of what you're choosing, gross pay or net pay, but calculating that in and increasing it. So obviously, if you're doing gross pay, you're going to have a smaller percent because in there is the lovely, you know, taxes, those types of things that we're not seeing elsewhere. Anyways, you now have a percentage. So you divided the 500 by the amount you've got. You're going to remember to move your decimal point over two spaces. And so now you have a two digit, hopefully it's not a zero something. Hopefully you are at least at 10% savings. If not, I challenge you. But gives you a savings rate. And then taking a fun challenge, I found it fun. Maybe I'm throwing that on there preemptively for you, of challenging yourself to increase by 1% every month until it hurts. So think about that. A 1% is very small, unless you're making oodles of money, right? But a 1% challenge really is not a huge impact. Doing it month after month after month, then you can start feeling the pinch. And at the point that you feel that pinch and you think that I can't, just pause. Just pause. You now have a new number that's coming home, that's coming into your budget, that's feeding your expenses, your spending, all of the things, right? Because hopefully we've automated our savings first. And then we just pause until you're comfortable again. So if you think about it, it's kind of an opposite way of like lifestyle creep. It's called savings creep. So definitely a way to creep that savings up and not feel the pinch. So that is how you can save very simply, very easily, and challenge yourself to move forward. Now, where do you save it? So as I said, there's a savings plan. Our savings plan will tell us where we should save this, in a sense as we need to know what is going to go to retirement, right? So as I talk about these savings account purpose, I'm not going to include retirement right now. So we're looking at emergency funds, savings buckets, savings goals, those things where we need to keep it liquid and we need to have it for, you know, fairly quickly. So these are going to be with your local credit union, a high yield savings account, which is an online savings bank, right? They do have limitations. You can read about those on their website. And it does have a little delay in getting it to you, but it makes great interest right now. You have money markets and you have HSAs or health spending accounts. Those are definitely all, you know, the savings accounts that you should consider for those quick liquid monies that you need. And again, the savings plan is going to help you determine that. All right, moving on to pillar number two, spending. Learning to control our spending helps the other two pillars become strengthened, right? What we don't spend, we can save and or invest. So again, I'm not getting into the little bits about, you know, cutting expenses and all that, why that's, you know, great, and you should be doing that. That's not this podcast episode. So I just want to talk about creating resistance and barriers for our spending. Because remember, we need to learn to control our spending to help strengthen our savings and our investing. So what do I mean by resistance and barriers? So you can set up a, you know, basically a boundary, or, you know, if you want to buy new furniture, maybe you have a spouse you need to include as well, partner. And if you guys say, all right, well, we need to go buy, you know, new living room furniture, how long are you going to wait? You need to instill a waiting period. Or another idea is we have to go and look at 3 different furniture companies, right? So creating the resistance that it's not just going to go, we're going to go to this one, we're going to choose one, and we're done. It kind of gives you that additional thinking about it, that delayed gratification, that you determine the importance of it. Because I do that often. I shouldn't say I do that often. I do. I always am like, oh, this would be fun to have. And then number one, I don't want to go anywhere. Number two, I don't want to, you know, have to drive around and find it. Yes, there's the online, so then I look there. But it's just forcing yourself to create those barriers, right? I have to do this, and I have to wait this long, and I have to put it in my cart for, you know, any expense over, and give you an amount, you know? But even little amounts can add up. I don't want to discount that at all. Creating lists that it can't be done unless we have it a list. If we're going to the home improvement store because we're remodeling this room and we need paint and tape and all of the things for painting, we're not going to be picking up a new, you know, sink or, you know, whatever other feature, light fixture or something, unless it's for that room. So thinking about those things and creating those barriers and that resistance, and, you know, is very important. The next idea under the spending pillar is having a plan for extra money, right? If you're paid biweekly, you get a third paycheck. We all have at one point or another, hopefully, seen a tax refund. And sometimes there's our spouse or ourselves are working overtime, right? And especially if that's mandatory overtime, wouldn't it be more pleasurable to have a plan for that extra money? What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes we should also include commissions and bonuses, right? What you need to have a plan for this money. And just to spend or just to go in your regular, you know, monthly budget is probably not the best, because it should be considered extra money. That third paycheck does have a waiver. There is still a little bit of extra. Handling that very carefully, you can find that extra money in it. But, you know, create that plan. And what I mean by that, if your spouse is working mandatory overtime, maybe you can instantly say any overtime goes to our vacation, right? Or 80% of it goes to our vacation savings, and 20% we're going to go for date nights. Or, you know, creating that specificity, I think that's a word, prior to that money coming in. It makes us handle that money more wisely. All right, the last pillar is investing. So I am not a financial advisor or a financial planner. So as far as investing, I am only here for education piece. But investing does not have to be hard, and it does not have to be scary. The more you learn about it, the more comfortable you will be. Now, investing is a lot of different things, right? Stocks, bonds, there's annuities, there's real estate. Typically, there is no guaranteed rate of return or no guaranteed income set out to come back. That is what investing is. And I had an episode come out about real estate investing, and Terry, she shares how she was not really a fan of investing until she found real estate. That was where her heart was. That's where she felt like she could make some money. And so that's what she stepped into. And just learning about it and understanding all of these options is very important. Why do we need to invest? We need to create a stream of passive income. We are going to age. We are not going to be able to work at some point. And that is what investing does for us. Investing provides that income that we need to live on in the future. I did hear a financial advisor say one time that strategy is not as important as just investing. So I'm going to give you that tidbit. If you are not putting into an investment account somewhere, and I'm going to list those accounts in just a moment, I want you to start, you know, and starting is better than not doing and then figuring it out from there. So if you're working for an employer, you have options of retirement accounts. Jump in there, learn about it. They've got people that will help you understand it. Talk to your HR. If your employer gives you a match, at least that percentage should be going in there. Otherwise, you are missing out on free money. If you put in $200 and they will match that $200, you're missing out on $200. And just think about that compounding for the future. So typical retirement accounts with employers are 401ks, there's 457s, there's on the 401ks, there's traditionals and Roth. We have investment within our HSA. Reach out to your vendor there. They can help you understand that. There's robo-advisors out there. Betterment. I can't think of any others, but there's a lot of different options out there, right? You can self-do it with different companies, or you can reach out to a financial advisor and ask them, learn from them. The biggest piece of investing is making sure you understand it and that you feel good about it before you jump into it. So I was meeting with a financial advisor who is just an acquaintance of mine, and she knew I had retired. And she says, so now you're conservative, correct? And I said, no. The reason I am not is I have 10 years before I can even touch my 401, which is now an IRA. And understanding that can grow for 10 years at a more, you know, high risk, which I'm comfortable with, is more important to me. So I just encourage you to learn about investing, learn about the areas that interest you. I know there's a lot with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and all I say is just educate yourself. Go ask people. Go inquire. Be curious. On Instagram, I have a Monday post with Curious George. That's the only way we can grow is by being curious about the next thing. What would you ask? What would you go learn? So, three pillars: saving, spending, and investing. Learn everything you can within each pillar. Hopefully you're rotating through them so that you can build future growth. Look forward to next time. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.